All right, make sure you're in fellowship as now we are addressing the conspiracy of the masses against God here in verses 3 through 4. We're looking at the parsing here, verse 4. We did 3 in first session, verse 4. And they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city." And they said as well, consecutive, calum, perfect, third, masculine, plural, again, a verb, amar, A-M-A-R. Come, let us build, is your cal imperative, masculine, singular, yahab, come, ascribe, as it may be, Y-A-H-A-B, repeated here. Plus the cohortative for our verb to build, cal imperfect, first common plural, bana, as we saw in regards to building the female body from the rib of Adam, the same verb here, B-A-N-A-H, to build, construct. For ourselves is your preposition with the first common plural suffix, lamed. Then our noun for city, common feminine singular absolute, ear, I-Y-R. And in addition to the metroplex, a tower whose top will reach into heaven. You have the wow conjunction, and our noun for tower here, common masculine singular absolute, Migdal, M-I-G-E-D-D-A-L. Migdal. You have the wow conjunction, the common masculine singular construct noun, followed with the third masculine singular suffix, a word for top or head, Rosh, R-O-S-H, and his head, literally, with the third masculine singular suffix, into the heavens, preposition bait, definite article, then the common masculine plural absolute, or noun for heaven, Shamayim. S-H-A-M-A-Y-I-M. And let us make for ourselves a name. Wow conjunction, let us make is a cal imperfect cohortative. Again, first common plural, a saw. Manufacture, make, A-S-A-H. For ourselves, preposition, lamed with a first common plural suffix. A name is a common masculine singular absolute noun, Shem, S-H-E-M. Let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Lest or otherwise, as it may be. You have the negative particle pen, P-E-N, followed with the imperfect cal imperfect first common plural verb phuts, P-H-U-T-S. Otherwise, we will be scattered or spread abroad, dispersed. I saw this verb back in 10:18. Over the face of the whole earth, you have the preposition all over, A-L. A face is the common both plural construct, noun pana. P-A-N-E-H, face of the whole earth, whole is your common masculine singular construct, kol, K-O-L, followed with the definite article and our noun for earth again, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. All right, rereading the verses again, verses 3 and 4, and they said to one another, they being corporate humanity in mass, as we saw that departed the region of Ararat and settled in Shinar, Mesopotamian area, present-day Iraq. And they said to one another, and now we see an agenda, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly, or literally, let us brick bricks and let us burn to burning in the Hebrew. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. Verse 4, and they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top into the heavens will reach into the heavens. And let us make for ourselves a name being a reputation. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. All right? Looking at these two verses and the analysis. One, having established their territorial claim in Shinar, or Sumer, the masses collaborate now as to a corporate agenda. They're going to operate and function as a group, as one. Two, it appears that they choose the area to be known as Babel, as a seat of government to represent Nimrod's growing kingdom. Nimrod, again, the background to him is he is responsible for the first development of the first civilization, post-Diluvian civilization, in the Mesopotamian era region. And Babel is one of the cities that he founded, along with others. As recorded for us in this regard, back in chapter 10:10, verse 10, in the list there, is listed first, the beginning of this kingdom was Babel. Then the areas, in addition to that, in the remainder of 10 and verse 11, and we see here in this particular section that the name of the place is called Babel. So that is the area, the particular city that is now in view, which this whole construction progress it takes place. And that lends itself to recognize it, if you will, as the city-state of the empire, to be known otherwise as Babylonia, Babylon. So three, their agenda here has all the markings of a conspiracy. It has all the markings of a conspiracy. For conspiracy is a group of people acting together in concert to achieve an evil end or goal, usually against a duly authorized and constituted authority. Most of us are not ignorant to the idea of conspiracies. Conspiracy theorists are rampant on the internet and otherwise in regards to our present day in society. To contrive a conspiracy is usually in retaliation or rebellion in regards to authority otherwise, to undermine that authority and to eventually, if you will, overthrow that which is otherwise recognized to be law and what is right in that vein. And it usually consists of a group of people, and they all have the same ideology, if you will, recognizing the agenda to go against the authority. So four, again, a conspiracy is a group of people acting together in concert to achieve an evil end or goal, usually against a duly authorized and constituted authority. The conspiracy theorists in regards to those seeking to undermine our Constitution and government in that vein, obviously, is no hidden secret existing behind the scenes, individuals who conspire to replace our form of government with their own ideology and method of law, etc. And they're getting pretty successful at it. Five, the phrase now, and they said to one another, here in our verse 3, is literally in the Hebrew, and they said, a man to his neighbor. Well, Amar, Ish, man, said to his man, to his neighbor, El Re'ah, to his neighbor or associate. So six, the conspiracy begins with those that initiate the movement. The plotters or the brains, if you will, of the operation. Usually in the background. These people like to operate covertly. They don't want people to recognize them. They don't like to be in the public eye, generally speaking. They just want to reap what benefits they can grab in regards to their agenda in the conspiracy in and of itself. People who are behind things to undermine our Constitution, people that are associated with the great merchants in this respect, the super elite, very powerful people, you very seldom see them in the news. They don't like to be in the news. They don't want you to know who they are. See? And these people, they keep very tight control and reign over their life through their access to money, power, contacts, things of this nature. All this stuff you see in regards to, you know, the most rich people of America, it's just a bunch of malarkey. There's some people so rich out there, it's just embarrassing to even recognize it. With all their assets, etc. The others are simply fodder to distract others from really getting them their eyes on these super elite, wealthy, shadow government, if you will, types of individuals. People who are behind owning the industries that coerce government officials through bribery and other things to make it mandatory legally to buy their product, use their product, things of this nature. Yeah. That is just as evil as it can be. Well, these individuals are the earth movers, if you will, the earth shakers behind the scene. They initiate the agenda with the appropriate philosophies, things of that nature, and they like to stay out of the public limelight otherwise. Often they conjure up false flag situations to cause the masses to keep their eyes away from the real issues at hand on superficial things that are going on around them that is nothing new under the sun. Come on, people have been murdering people for centuries. Now all of a sudden it's a big deal. Now, as much as obviously I appreciate the convenience of modern technology and the computer and the internet and what it makes available, the other part of you goes, God, I wish it had never been invented, because every time you turn it on, there's every little piece of news. This family gets killed here somewhere halfway across the world. Yeah. Okay. You know, whatever. But anyway, that's personal preference. That's the way it is. So seven, these do the initial talking that prompts others to action. They come up with these ideas, schemes, and they enlist their dupes, again, usually through types of bribes, promises, things of this nature, etc., to get on the bandwagon and function with them in regards to their scheme. And you have those who are there that construct, make up the agenda as it is, and spreading their word around to others. Aid as the plotters gain credibility and a following. The conspiracy then grows in number and force. Here we have, again, a singular individual, Nimrod, that would obviously have the reins in this regard. And you have others who have embraced him and are on his side and want to support him, close to him. And then these, in turn, do his bidding, and they bend the ear of the masses. And the conspiracy grows numerically and with power. So 9, the dupes or uninformed masses get caught up in the activity and eventually end up urging others to join their course of action. That's just the way it works. Most people that you see in regards to any present day underminings, etc., in government are generally just dupes, weak in the flesh, monetarily bent in regards to their STA or power, and many get caught up in the propaganda and the ideology that is presented, and under peer pressure and things of this nature, end up performing the very agenda of the conspirators, and often ignorant in regards to the very actions of which they are engaged in. Obviously, things that are otherwise legitimate can be taken and utilized to be a tool for conspirators as something that would appeal to others who might have certain ethics and morals attached to them that would not otherwise just jump on the bandwagon and say, all right, let's go do this. See. These individuals are deceptive. They're wormy. They don't hesitate to disparage, contaminate even things that are otherwise held in high esteem in general, to do their bidding and to utilize it as their tool. To take an innocent party, like in the drug culture, and turn them into a mule without them knowing what's going on. You know, people do that. Well, don't think that it's limited to just little simple things like that. No, there are those types with such power, etc., that it is rampant and spread in regards to even over societies and governments to take, you know, things that normally is a good thing, such as patriotism and things of this nature, and utilize these things to do their bidding that is otherwise, as we would put it in our own perspective, not constitutional. Like forcing our military to work with NATO and operate under their rules and regulations. That's despicable. We don't belong to NATO, but yet there have been members of the military who've been ostracized and condemned because they brought up these principles. I can't remember the kid's name, some PFC, just a couple decades ago. He brought it up. It was in the news briefly. And he was kicked out of the military so fast his head was spinning. Because he says, hey, I work for the U.S. government. I don't work for NATO. I don't work for the UN. See, I'm not a United Nations military supporter. And boy, howdy, was he hushed up. See, but that's what happens. You know, and obviously, the cosmos is such an easy target with doctrine today. You know, you could go on and on with this stuff. The illegitimate wars, the police actions of Big Brother, and doctrine, understanding prophecy, understanding the time in which we live, with Bible doctrine, you see through this stuff and you don't end up getting wrapped up like the other cows in the herd do with respect to these kinds of situations. The fundies are notorious for this. You know, everything's military, patriotism. You know, I don't know where that came from, because when I came out of the 70s, military was the last thing on anybody's mind. To me, it's just ironic. Just totally, history is ironic in regards to our society. How it's all of a sudden turned around for this. Well, you get something really bad, you throw it into the mix and make it look all real bad, and then you utilize something that's legitimate to go in, and even though what they're picturing is bad, it's not really what's bad, it's their scheme that's behind it, to go in and do their bidding, and everybody go, oh. And then you have people that see through that stuff, but a lot of times they're not on the same conservative wavelength as others. And they're branded, you know, and there you have the schism. There you have the division, the chaos, and people picking sides. And you've got to quit picking sides. You pick doctrine, see. I don't know how many times I've said that, and I'll never say it enough, probably. You pick doctrine. You let doctrine determine these things, not your next-door neighbor, your friends, apart from doctrinal types, obviously. You let Bible doctrine dictate to you what's right and what's wrong. But the sad state of affairs, most people don't want to hear this. And I'm talking about our society. Most people don't want to hear this. Those who do want to hear it usually have their own other agendas, personal agendas that are inserted in regards to their own lives, rather than just doctrine being the issue, see. But anyway, I don't want to be one of those pastors that stands before the chief shepherd in the category of, why didn't you warn your sheep about these things, see. Even though it may go against the grain of people's sacred cows otherwise. And come on, be honest, that's all it is a sacred cow. Whenever it's put in that type of category at the expense of Bible doctrine and expense of application of Bible doctrine in regards to these situations. Whether it's relationships, whether it's professionals, people's professions, jobs, the military, whatever. See. Go run after it. Go worship it. Then turn around and give doctrine a little lip service on the side. Then you have, and that's where your dissent usually comes up in regards to people that otherwise you consider it adjusted, see. Because they take issue with these doctrines. But You want to remain blind in your life, you know, over these things? Well, just keep rejecting it. So you have those who come in, they do the plotting, the scheming. Then they build a following. People get on the bandwagon. You have your peer pressure, whether it's at school, whether it's on the job, out in the cosmos and other ways, to succumb to these things. As we will see in these verses, people will appeal to the nature of mankind under human good, to guilt people sometimes and often into doing things. Man, you're around legalists. You face that kind of crap all the time, trying to guilt you into things. Well, you don't call me enough. You know, why don't you call your family more and more, you know, and all this other stuff. And people just, you know, in I'm talking about people in disregards to God's niche for your life. So, try to guilt you into things. The only guilt that you'll find here in regards to what you do in life comes from the truth of doctrine and your own soul in reflection upon doing God's will in your life or not. See? But anyway, we're in a new year, the same old shit. And all the tapers could take that and go, no, here, look in here. So to end the ringleaders of the conspiracy, prey on the insecurities and fears of the masses, and so organize them into a willing following. Is how to manipulate the STA. And there's some people out there that are damn good at this. To manipulate other people's STAs. That's what whores do, see. They try to manipulate the male STA under the phallic trend. They know what appeals and all these other things. Well, you got people that do the same thing in regards to government and other acts of disobedience, civil disobedience that's going on covertly around you. And they come in and they utilize these things to create situations that will make people fearful. People under the SCA are inherently insecure. So, fear is a trend that most people recognize. Even the idiots out there that like to test God with their lives doing reckless things, the adrenaline junkies, even they operate off of fear. That's how you get your adrenaline going. So people take these situations and they feed off of it. They prey on people in certain areas of their SCA. So 11, the masses are not guiltless in this event. Now, just because you're not a conspirator, the masses who fall into this, they're not guiltless. They have their own blame. They are usually, continuing point 11, dissatisfied and underreaction to various events in their own niche. They're misacclimated somewhere else. And this gives them their distraction they're looking for to rationalize their misacclimation. Part of growing up spiritually, part of the road to hoe, if you will, of becoming a mature, well-rounded believer is becoming acclimated to your niche. See? To truly approach God's plan for your life, recognizing that indeed this is His plan for your life. And you will be acclimated to that fact. Again, this does not discourage people bettering themselves where possible, but it will not be at the compromise of Bible doctrine to do it. See? And then people have reactor factors. The SCA reacts. People who cannot truly control their emotions. And emotions are not always just anger or happiness. Emotions can involve all kinds of decisions we make in life. Come from jealousy and things of this nature. You want something, you can't get it because you don't have the money. Yeah. And you become misacclimated. Things of that nature. So the masses aren't guiltless. They have their own blame. They're running under their sin natures. They want more money. They want more of the good life. If what the government does is a promise of that, they dangle that carrot out there for them. See how many people bite on this one. Obviously, what you'll always find in regards to their agendas is the hypocrisy that's embedded in all of it. And it's all about getting people on their side. And if people are not willing to line up of their own volition, then they resort to doing things that will force people to do stuff otherwise. So, while people may, and I'm there, while people may wave the flag of freedom and democracy in regards to our country as a form of government, if that be the case, then we're the ones responsible for the condition we're in today and where our government's going, society is. Because we were given the freedom to do something about it otherwise. The society has capitulated. See. And again, it's the only system I've ever grown up under. And yeah, it's better than some of the others, but if you get a righteous king in place, that's something that you would never have to deal with otherwise. And the monarchy of Jesus Christ, obviously, is the kind of government that is going to take in order for this world to truly be blessed across the board on a perpetual basis. No, the masses are not the smartest of the group. Now, let the people make the decision like that. No, they're not, most often. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. What I state is not necessarily an advocate of something other than the society, government, or the type of government that we live in. But it definitely puts it in its proper perspective. So, your other masses, you fall for this tripe, well, you deserve it. Now, obviously, you're in a situation you can't do anything about it. Chances are, when you vote, it's all computerized, and they can turn that vote into anything they want. You'd never know it. Most of us wouldn't. You don't know. Thank God for Bible doctrine and God's plan for our life, right? Who really gives a rat's behind in that sense? I mean, we do. Nobody likes to see it. Jesus didn't want to see Jerusalem go down the tubes. It brought tears to his eyes to see the spiritual degeneracy of the very race that he came out of in his humanity. His own patriotism. But he didn't let it blind him either. He always kept it in perspective. See? And he looked forward to better days for Israel. So 12, dissatisfaction, and the SCA lead these people to become involved in illicit activity with regard to their authority. To not keep your SCA curbed with rebound and application of Bible doctrine, not to be acclimated to your niche, you become easy prey for those who dangle an alternative to get you what you want in life. Unfortunately, it's a downfall for a lot of people in their jobs. They're dissatisfied financially, and they're willing to sacrifice their NPR for the all-powerful, mighty buck, because they don't want to live or maintain some type of financial niche that is less than, you know, as we would say, keeping up with the Joneses. Well, I know people have their tests. I have compassion for that. I have my tests. And I know people have their reasons for not being in Bible class. But all I'm going to say to you is keep your reasons and save them for Jesus Christ at the Bema seat. And don't be surprised when you get there that there are other believers who are prize contenders waiting to get their prize that is the same test you had, and it didn't keep them out of Bible class. So, you know, my dad, the reversionist that he was, still has some pretty good sayings. And he always told me, you want something bad enough, damn it, you'll give up whatever you got to go get it. He knew me. So, that's the way it is. People want something bad enough. They'll sacrifice whatever they got to sacrifice to possess or have that thing. You want Bible doctrine bad enough, you'll be here. You'll put up with what you got to put up with. Obviously, we will do whatever we can to make the environment conducive for to be as comfortable as possible for anybody. All right, 13. Now, the principles here in this conspiracy. The principles in the conspiracy at Babel are, A, you have Yahweh, the Lord, who's the authority here in the matters of doctrine and human existence under the Noahic covenant. B, you have Nimrod and allies. They're the brains behind the conspiracy. C, then you have the masses of negative volition, scared as to harm in their interests or lives, and unhappy with the rules of Yahweh. So that's your parties, principles, that are involved in this particular conspiracy. So 14, the rallying of the troops finds its cohesiveness here under Nimrod and allies by getting all concerned to unite in a common cause. That's the first thing we see that's coming about after they bend each other's ear. The part of the bending of the ear is let's unite under a common cause. See. 15, this to create peer pressure and a physical and emotional distraction of self-accomplishment. Exactly what the cosmos promotes. See. Again, we're not undermining success and accomplishments in life. But at the expense of Bible doctrine, we are saying that is wrong. The cosmos, Satan's world, loves to use peer pressure in regards to getting people to join up or come on their side. Peer pressure at school, peer pressure on the job, peer pressure financially in general, And then they dangle other aspects to serve your SEA in areas of approbation and things of this nature, so that you have a sense of self-accomplishment. But it's all under a fleshly agenda in regards to doing these things. You know, there's probably not another area that is any more black and white in regards to an example of this as to race. Racial differences. If you're black, you got the peer pressure of a black skin to get you to side on their side. White, same thing. You know, your race. See, that's a great example of this kind of pressure. Rather than looking at people for their individual selves, recognizing that before God, the color of your skin is moot. Don't mean nothing. What's going on inside your soul, that's what means everything. See? So, we understand peer pressure, and you're in school, you got to look out for that. Doctrine will help you recognize and identify these types of things. You don't have to be like everybody else. I heard that one growing up too. Parents had conservative, biblical, sound judgments, which I thought they lost after I became an adult. But anyway, to surgery. And this self-worth, you know, this whole ideology, you deserve a break today. You know, that type of stuff. Self-accomplishment. To make something of yourself. Be the proud, be the few, you know, all that stuff. All this human viewpoint garbage that they feel like everything has to be advertised now to get people to join up. All they're doing is soliciting the sin nature, generally speaking, in certain areas of it. Trust me, if they're attacking our shores, you won't need to say that. They'll be lined up. They did it World War II, they did it World War I. With minimal government advertising. It's mostly just support. But that's not the way it is anymore. And why? Because what they're doing now with our military is corrupt. In a lot of cases. Not all of it. I'm not saying all of it. But a lot of it. Our military has been shanghaied. And we see what's going on. Yeah. Everybody's getting really patriotic. Well, look to somebody in office that has a disregard, more or less, for these things on the surface. And we'll create conflict there. All this stuff. Quite honestly, you have to appreciate the genius of these manipulators and conspirators that we're facing in the last days. But of course, you have the ultimate conspirator that's getting ready to come on board. And you have people that are hooked in to the system already. Lock, stock, and barrel. And they have every advantage of the intelligence of the evil of Satan himself in order to gain and prosper and accomplish their agendas. Obviously not to the degree that Antichrist is going to have. But it's still there. And you got the world basically negative in general. That people otherwise kept ignorant. Tear down the morality, the ethical fabric of society, Go for it. Part of the getting the people on the bandwagon is to provide some type of engine that will unite everyone in a common cause. This creates peer pressure and provides an outlet for self-accomplishment under the sin nature energy of the flesh. 16, this is counterfeit to soul pressure brought upon by God and Bible doctrine application. See, all this is counterfeit. It is providing an alternative with respect to doing it right under divine good. It's human good. So 17, in other words, man's survival is dependent upon energy of the flesh rather than God's grace. 18, in this case, the instrument for organizing was a unified industry of brick making. The first recording of masons is now seen here in the book of Genesis. Brick making. 19, the opening rally, come, which is Yahab in the Hebrew, literally means to give. That's what that word means, to give. That's why I translated it, ascribe. See? Encouraging all concerned to ascribe to the agenda by selfless sacrifice of their own. See, that gives you a sense of worth. Our society does that all over the place. All the organizations, etc., give for this, give for that, help your fellow man, all these other things. On the surface, yeah. But it gives people a sense of self-worth. Apart from doing it according to the dictates and constraints and restraints of Bible doctrine. So, part of the appeal to mankind is under human good. Is there anything that pisses me off more? And I use that word correctly, because it does piss me off, righteously speaking. Is all of the organizations that appeal to the masses to give extra, 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 extra to help feed the poor, help the homeless, etc. When our government has enough money, they could feed another nation if they wanted to. But what do these jackasses do? They appeal to the masses who are providing their livelihood, generally speaking, anyway, to give more of their income so they can keep this stuff for themselves. Yeah, doctrine makes me see these things. Or allows me to. And again, that's just one of those things, you know. I remember in my past life when I was in real estate that the United Way was a big thing for the company. And literally, of course, there was several of us from Bible class that worked there for this company. And literally, they took me into office because I was in a managerial position, and my influence over the rest of the employees, 30 or 50 of them that I had or whatever, they wanted to see me on the bandwagon. And they literally took me in and they told me, either you get everybody to give or you're out of the job. Well, I didn't know that's what this what I hired on for was for United Way. But when you put it that way, here's your dollar. Thank you. The principle of the thing. You sit there and you go, look, United Way gives organizations that I'm completely against, like Roman Catholicism, the Great Whore, all these other human good institutions that they involve themselves in. You got to understand, see, I was in a position that I understood where a lot of these people came from. Like American Heart Association people of this ilk, most of their donation money went to make the people that work there rich. You know, after a while, they had to have the disclosure in regards to things because people were getting wise. You know, 70-80% of their donations was going to put Mercedes in people's garages rather than going out to feed the masses and or helping other people. See, I saw that. But anyway, I've had fun. It's a good year. Maranatha. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.